Shabbat Shalom. Okay, welcome to everybody and everybody who will be watching this with us. I have an important message today because of the times we're living in. And as we know, Satan is a great counterfeiter, but we're in a time now where he's ready to do the biggest counterfeit that he's ever done in the history of mankind. And I want to start in 2 Thessalonians 2. Starting in verse 3. It says, "Do not let anyone deceive you in any way, because that day, the day of Yahweh, will not come unless first there comes a great rebellion." Or a great falling away. Literally, it's a defection from the truth. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. It's interesting, there was just a poll out a month or two ago where they actually said that more than 70% of Christians, not people in the world, but 70% of Christians do not believe the Bible stories is true. They do not believe that the Bible is true, that it's more or less just analogy. "The one opposing and exalting himself over everything being called Elohim or object of reverence, so as for him to sit in the sanctuary of Elohim as an El and sets himself forth as if he is Elohim. Do you not remember that I told you these things when I was with you? And now you know what has prevented him from being revealed in his time, for the mystery of lawlessness is already working until he who is now the obstacle is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be exposed, whom our master Yeshua will consume by the spirit of his mouth and will destroy by the brightness of his presence." Now here comes the important part. "His coming is due to the working of Satan and all power and miraculous signs and lying wonders and in all deceit of unrighteousness in those who will perish because they did not receive the love of the truth in order for them to be saved." We're seeing that now. We're seeing that what is the narrative in the world is 100% opposite of what the truth is. It's not any more slanted or tilted. It's 100% opposite. And basically, the people in the world, they don't want to see it. And that's how we know we're coming closer to the end, because people are just closed-minded. They don't want to see the truth at all. "And because of this, Elohim will send to them a working of deception for them to believe the lie." A working of deception for them to believe the lie, "that those not believing in the truth but who have delighted in unrighteousness may all be damned." So, again, this is talking about what is this great lie, and this is about the mark of the beast that's coming and what's happening. And this is, now we know it, now that we see the World Economic Forum has already announced what this great lie is, that they believe that human beings will become their own Elohim, that they will live forever, that Yahweh doesn't exist. And that is the great lie of Satan. That is the biggest lie he's going to do. And how are they doing it? Because they want to transform and connect people's minds through the internet. And I've mentioned this before, the CEO of Nokia, the biggest phone company in the world, had said in less than 5 years, you will not even need those dumb phones anymore, because everything in the phone will be connected in the brain. So this is, they're changing already people's DNA, and they're literally going to make human beings half human and half artificial intelligence. And this is why, by taking the mark of the beast, people will lose their salvation, because they won't be human anymore. They'll be something else, and they'll be demon-possessed by that. So this is the counterfeit that Satan is trying to do, right? So we don't need that. We don't need these things. Why don't we need these things? Because we have the Spirit of Yahweh, right? And the Spirit of Yahweh, and that's really what I want to get into today, the change that the Spirit of Yahweh brings in somebody's life. And when we're talking about this, right, basically at the end of the day, there is a fight out there between Yahweh and Satan for your mind. That's what it comes down to, right? Because everything else, your body, like I said, our body is a handicap to us. It's dying every day. Our cells die every day. You have so many breaths and so many beats of your heart. And then whether you're, you know, 50, 60, 70, or possibly you could live to 80 or even 90 years old, there comes a time your body gives out and that's the end of it. So from the day you're born to the day you die, your body is just dying off. But your mind is what lives forever. And that's the interesting part also that they say, they claim, Elon Musk claimed he already has the technology to download people's minds into a robot, an artificial intelligence. And that people will live forever, maybe not in the same body, but by their mind being in this artificial intelligence. So this is the counterfeit that Satan wants to do. He's looking at the greatest miracle that Yahweh has ever done. And what is that miracle? Taking human beings, taking our corrupted nature from the Garden of Eden, right? When Adam and Eve chose the way of Satan instead of the way of Yahweh. And Yahweh's restoration plan to to have us give up our human nature and have his spirit come in us and literally recreate a new mind, his mind. Literally to have the mind of Elohim living in us, which means eternity and ultimately immortality when Yeshua returns. So this is, it's so fantastic. It's so unbelievable. It is so incredible that it's almost hard to believe. And even the concept. And I've said this before, when you're talking about the mind of Messiah, it's not something you can teach. You don't teach the mind of Messiah. It's not something you could learn in a sermon or a CD. It's not something that words can do. The only thing that can really bring the mind of Messiah is Yahweh's Spirit, his Ruach living in you. And what I can do in a message like this is share with you how to allow that to happen, how to allow your human nature to die, and how to allow the Spirit of Yahweh to work in your life. But it's not something that you can teach. It's not something, like I said, it's so much higher than anything in a human level. And this is why this is Satan's biggest counterfeit. Because yes, he's counterfeited the holy days, right? He's counterfeited Christmas and Ishtar Sunday. And he's counterfeited the Sabbath day with the day of Baal Sunday. But this is his biggest counterfeit because now he's counterfeiting the plan of Yahweh, where Yahweh is taking, like I said, corrupted human beings and through his spirit literally living in us, like I said, when that spirit comes in us, when we're baptized, we're like a baby in a womb. And then when Yeshua returns, we will be born again. We will be born as spirit and live forever and have him be given immortality. And now he's trying to counterfeit that through Klaus Schwab in the World Economic Forum to basically connect people's brains to the internet, where here it is that these evil people will be downloading things into people's brains, and ultimately Satan and the man of sin will be the one that will be controlling this. So I think we can understand why you would lose your salvation for this. And that's why, like I said, COVID, boy, this is the beginning spot. Now that COVID came and lockdowns and QR codes and all these things and the technology is here, again, I'm not going to guess, you know, when it's going to come to place, but we know it's already here. It's already started. So it doesn't matter whether it takes 6 months, a year, or even 3 or 5 years. It really doesn't make a difference. It has already started. It's time to come out of Satan's system. And it's time for us not to fear what Satan is doing through humanity, but for us to embrace what Yahweh is doing and embrace the mind of Messiah. Because it doesn't matter if you were baptized. It doesn't matter if you had hands laid on you. It's just like a seed that goes into the ground. If you're not nurturing that seed, if you're not every day watering that seed, if you're not dying to the flesh daily, it's like nothing. It's like the seed is just going to lay there. Nothing will happen from it. So this is what I want to talk to about today. How to die to your human nature and how to build the mind of Messiah in you. And I often think, you know, for years I thought, wow, I would, you know, it says, there's a scripture in Psalms that says, better is one day in your house than 1,000 days without. And I would have given anything in my life just to be one day in the presence of Yeshua. You know, to be there at the Sermon on the Mount or to be there just following him as he's walking, just to hear his words. Because again, we could watch videos, you know, of Acts or the New Testament. We could read the Bible and see what Yeshua said. And it is powerful because this Holy Spirit does make it alive in us. But it's not like being there. There's nothing that's like being there. Even for you know, 25 years doing tours in Israel and now Jordan and hopefully soon Mount Sinai, you could show pictures, you could show videos, but it's not even 10% of if you're there and you're actually seeing it with your eyes and what it does to you as you're seeing when you're there. So the power that Yeshua's words had, we can't even imagine. And I remember reading one time from, I think it was a first or second century historian that was saying that when Yeshua spoke, it was like being, he was like a general, like his words were so powerful, and how the his disciples and the apostles, how they would like just get in order just by hearing his words. And we think about it, you know, like just, he tells someone like Matthew, you know, come follow me. And here it is, he just drops everything and changes his life and follows him. And the same way with healing people, you know, when he casts the demon out or when he's healing somebody, and just immediately, just by his words, it happened. The same way it says in John 1:1, you know, in the beginning, you know, Yeshua was there, and Yeshua was the one who, under the authority of Yahweh the Father, who gave the words. And once he gave the words, everything was created. So the power of the words of Yeshua, and those words are his mind, because he's not just randomly speaking. These words are coming from his thoughts, from his mind. And Yahweh is, there's no greater gift that Yahweh can give us than his mind. Titus 3, 4 and 5 says, but when the kindness and love of Yahweh our Savior toward man appeared, not by works in righteousness which we had done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Yeshua Messiah our Savior. So he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I say this, I share with people, you know, many of us probably heard this. I know when I was first converted, I heard this. You're being brainwashed. You know, you're being brainwashed. If you ever heard that. And I say, yes. Praise Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. He is washing our brain. He is taking our brain and scrubbing it down and washing it from all the evil stuff that was in it before, all the evil human nature we have. And he's washing it. And like it says here, he is washing the regeneration of renewing of the Holy Spirit. So this is what the mind of Messiah can do. It can literally, there's nothing more life-changing. Because, you know, the doctrines and the rituals that Yahweh has us do, such as take leaven out of our house, or fast on Yom Kippur, or blow a trumpet on Yom Teruah, these are all important things because they're all rituals and signs that lead us to the reality of Yeshua. And they remind us, as we do these things constantly, year in and year out, all these things have a purpose and a reminding. But at the end of the day, everything is for one purpose: to give us the mind of Messiah, to renew our mind to his mind. And without that, there's nothing. Without that, the rituals don't mean anything, because Yahweh made those rituals, right? But the rituals themselves are nothing. So we don't eat leaven for a week, you know, or, you know, whatever, you know, that you know, during Passover, we take a little bit of the fruit of the vine, the grape juice or the wine, and that reminds us of Yeshua's blood or whatever. These are all symbols to bring us to the reality of him. But the mind of Messiah is the reality. The mind of Messiah is him. The mind of Messiah is that change. It's the thing that changes your life. And the saddest thing for me is people that have been in the faith, or let's say at least baptized, for sometimes 5 and 10 and even 20 and 30 years, and have never put on the mind of Messiah. And sooner or later, the rituals just ain't enough. And a lot of times people fall away because of that, you know. So we have to use all of these things that Yahweh has given us to point us toward the reality. But we have to get to that reality. And that reality is the transformation of taking us as corrupted human flesh, you know, which is just dirt and water, and basically changing us into him, changing us into his mind, changing us into his thought patterns, changing us into becoming something that is the same way as these people that are going to take the mark of the beast, and they're going to be part artificial intelligence, and they're not human anymore, in the sense of human beings, right? From what we know of a human being. But actually, when you get the mind of Messiah, you're not human anymore either. Because it's hard enough as a human being to love your family, right? How many families break up? How many families, sometimes the father or the mother dies, and then the children never talk again over inheritance, right? So it's hard enough to love the ones who love you, but to love your enemies? To love people who hate you? To be kind to people who despise you? To pray for those who hate you and want to destroy you? That's not even human. That's above what a human being is. So that's the whole point of it here. That Yahweh is trying to bring us, elevate us to a point of being like him and having his mind. And Satan is trying to degrade us to a point of being like a machine. And it's interesting, I'm not going to go there now, but in the book of Daniel, remember it talks about the beast in the end time that's part iron and part clay. Isn't that interesting? Because isn't that kind of what human being mixed with artificial intelligence is? That they're part human, part earth and water, but part iron, part metal, part machine. And this is the point we're at. We're really at this point. So we need to be thinking about these things. Proverbs 23:7, not going to go there, but it says, as a man thinks, so he is, right? So that's why I said, Yeshua, everything starts in our mind. Everything starts with our thoughts. So every single thing that came in this world, every invention started with the mind, right? Just look at something like the telephone. Somebody didn't one day just wake up and see a telephone sitting on their wall. Or all of a sudden, just like they're carrying stuff, and all of a sudden it all fell over, and when he picked it up, it became a telephone. Which shows you how stupid evolution is, right? Because that the human body is the same way. The human body is billions of cells, right? And organs that we have, that every organ has millions and billions of cells. And unless they're all working properly, nothing works. So you can't evolve the human body. You can't evolve to say, well, after a million years, the heart will work. And then a million years later, the kidney will work. And a million years later, the liver will work. Of course not. It's ridiculous. Either it works or it doesn't work. So evolution doesn't work. In the same way, you can't carry a box of all things in there and fall over, and then it all came together and made a telephone. Wow. No, that's not the way it was created. The way it was created is somebody in their mind, and we know it's Alexander Graham Bell, thought, well, voice comes through, you know, like waves. So is there a way that we could transform those waves through wires? And it's almost interesting. I don't know if you ever, as a child, you could take two styrofoam cups and you could put a rope on it and you listen at each end and you could actually hear. You could hear sound because sound transports. You know, the same way if you're in a theater, right? An open theater, and you're talking in that theater, you could see how your voice will bounce off of walls. So this was all the beginning of thoughts like, how do we do this? And here it is today. You could talk to somebody who's 7 or 8 or 10,000 miles away and hear them perfectly. But it all started in the mind. It all started with a thought. TV, airplane, radio, the car, right? It wasn't like the Flintstones that somebody just, you know, had a rock and then they're running with their feet, you know. That's a cartoon. It wasn't like that. The car, people thought of how a motor has to work, how the wheels, how it would roll everything. Musical instruments, right? Food. Even smoking, you know, like you wonder who on earth would ever smoke? And how did it start? You know, was somebody like on fire and all of a sudden they got in their mouth and hey, smoke ain't that bad. No, somebody had a figure, you know, how to think like, hey, let's try smoking this stuff. And every single thing, computers, look at how computers are. Every single thing started with a thought. And I don't know about you, but did you ever wonder, like ever say, wow, how did they think of that? You know, like there's something that's new and you're like, how did they think of that? Because people are always thinking of everything. So everything starts in the mind. And so does sin start in the mind. Jacob 1, verse 13. Jacob 1 and verse 13 says, let no man be tempted, say, I am tempted from Elohim, for Elohim is not tempted by evil, and he tempts no one. But But each one is tempted by his own lusts. He covets and is seduced by them. Then having conceived, lust brings forth sin, and sin having been formed brings forth death, right? So this is the way it goes. Thought brings action. Action brings sin. Sin brings death. Or thought brings righteousness. Righteousness brings reward. Reward brings eternal life. It's one or the other, but everything starts in the mind. Everything starts in the mind. Mark 7 and verse 18, because it is your mind that defiles you, right? That's what defiles you. The mind is what defiles you. And that's why Yahweh looks at our heart, which is our mind. Like I said, the heart is basically a muscle that pumps. And, you know, for time eternity, it's been used as a way of, you know, your innermost deep feelings. But it's really not your heart, because the heart is just the muscle that's pumping. It's your brain. It's your mind. It's your thoughts that are making those feelings. So Mark 7 and verse 18 says, and he said to them, are you also undiscerning? Do you not perceive that all enters in from the outside into the man is not able to all that enters from the outside into the man is not able to defile him. So what's going on here? The Pharisees have a tradition of washing a certain way up to the elbow and pouring, you know, and they still do this today. And Yeshua's disciples aren't washing that way. They're not eating with dirty hands, you know, but even that wouldn't defile you. But they're washing a certain way. So now the Pharisees are saying, why don't they follow the traditions of the elders? And this is what Yeshua is saying. He's saying that, don't you perceive that all that enters from the outside into the man is not able to defile him? This is because it does not enter into his heart, but into the belly and goes out into the waste bowl, purging the food, right? So whatever you eat, good, bad, or indifferent, is going to go through your stomach, you know, through your colon, and out the waste bowl, and it purges it. And he said, that passing out of the man is the thing that defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of man, right out of his mind, his thoughts, pass out evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, greedy desires, iniquities, deceitful, lustful desires, a wicked eye, blasphemy, pride, recklessness. All these evil things pass from within and defile the man, right? So that's what defiles the man. It's his mind, it's his thoughts. And that's why, like I said, when Yahweh looks at the heart, there could be two actions that two different people take the same action. And one, it won't be looked at as unrighteousness to Yahweh, and the other one, it will be. Why? Because of accountability of what the person knows and why they're doing it. It means everything. So it's the mind, the heart, which defiles us, right? John 2 and verse 23-25. Talking about Yeshua, and as he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, at the feast, many believed into his name, seeing the miracles which he did. But Yeshua did not entrust himself to them, because he understood every man, and he did not rely on men to testify to him concerning anyone, for he knew what was in man, right? So Yeshua knew what was in man. He knew that man was evil. He knew that because of the corrupted nature in the Garden of Eden, where man had a choice, the same that we have that choice today. Do we trust Yahweh with all heart, mind, soul, and strength in believing Yahweh? Or are we going to use our free will? Because if we're going to be made in his image, he had to give us free will. Are we going to use that free will to make our own decisions? Basically with Satan as our counselor, telling us what decisions to make. That's what happened in the Garden of Eden. So this is where man has been for 6,000 years. But now in the end, this is it. This is the last period here. And this is the last test. And human beings who fail this test will cease to exist forever. Human beings that pass the test will go into the kingdom of Yahweh and rule with Yeshua for the 1,000 years and then ultimately forever. So we have to make the decision in our life because we have the free will. Yahweh's not going to make it for us. You have to make the decision. Do I want the mind of Messiah or do I want the mind of Klaus Schwab, which is the mind of Satan? That's what you have to decide. Which is it going to be? And like I said, whatever you focus on becomes most real to you. Whatever you focus on becomes most real. What are your thoughts? You know, what are your daily thoughts? Do you live in fear, anger, pride, worry about self, greed? Because like I said, how many people do you have to kill to be a murderer? One person. You don't say like, oh, that guy's a murderer. No, I'm not a murderer. I only killed one person. No, you kill one person, you're a murderer. The same way, if you have thoughts of fear or anger or pride or worry, then you're either a fearful person, a prideful person, an angry person, whatever it is. Your thoughts make up who you are, you know, and your body is basically a printout of your thoughts. So your thoughts make up who you are. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things. It is incurable. Who can know it? So a lot of times people think, you know, that their heart is right, you know, and they say, but you don't understand, you know, I'm saying this from my heart. I'm thinking from my heart. But the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and incurable, or some translations put desperately wicked. And in order to change, you have to realize without the Spirit of Yahweh, every human being is deceitful and evil. It's that simple. So that's the problem with human beings, why they don't come to faith, because they actually think they're good. Satan has deceived humans into thinking that their intentions and their heart are good, but they're not. We know that. Except for Yeshua Messiah, every human being that ever lived has faltered and has sinned. Genesis 6, 5 through 7. Genesis 6, 5 through 7. This is right before Noah builds the ark. And look at the state of affairs from the time that Adam and Eve, with their free will, chose to worship Satan, because when you're given over allegiance to, you know, you're given worship to instead of Yahweh. How long did it take to get to this point here? Not that long. But then look at what happens here in Genesis 6:5. And Yahweh saw that the evil of man was great on the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the day long. And Yahweh sighed with sorrow that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved to his heart. And Yahweh said, I will wipe off man whom I've created from the face of the earth, from man to beast, to the creeping thing, and to the birds of the heaven, for I repent that I made him. Wow, wow, what a hard scripture to read as a human being. But this is the reality of it. And if Yahweh is saying this in Genesis 6, wow, if there was a Revelation 23 now, and Yahweh had to say the same thing about our generation today, well, what would he be saying? What would he be saying about that? Because, you know, they don't have anything over this generation today. The mind is wicked, but the first step to recovery is admittance. Jacob 4 in verse 1. Jacob 4 in verse 1. From where come conflicts and fightings from among you? Is it not from your lusts warring in your members? You covet and you do not have. You murder and are jealous and are not able to possess. And he's talking about in our mind, right? Because as it says, if you get angry with somebody, you murdered them. You fight and you strive and you have nothing because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you do not ask sincerely. You ask in order that you may satisfy your lust, right? This is why sometimes people pray to Yahweh, but only for themselves, and they're not receiving, and they're wondering why. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship of the world is enmity, hatred with Elohim? Whoever then purposes to be a friend of the world is an enemy to Elohim. And I've said this many times. Wow, if you can't see now, at the time we're at, when we possibly only have about 7 or 8 years before Yeshua returns, maybe 15 at the most, and you can't see to come out of the world now with everything going on, then at what point would you ever come out of it? But this is the whole New Testament. This is the New Covenant. The New Covenant from Yeshua is coming out of the world. It's not being part of Satan's system from 2,000 years ago all the way till today. It's actually restoring what Adam lost. Adam decided to be part of Satan's system. Instead of saying, rebuking Satan and get thee behind me, Satan, and staying in the garden, he listened to Satan. And he was the first leader of Satan's society there. And here we are, almost 6,000 years later, and the people of Yahweh are to come out of that society, right? So anyone is a friend of the world is an enemy to Yahweh. Or do you think that vainly the scripture says, pride dwelling in us lusts with envy. But he gives greater grace because of this. It says Yahweh sets himself against proud ones, but gives grace to humble ones. Then submit to Yahweh, resist the devil, and he will flee from you, right? Garden of Eden all again. Submit to Yahweh, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. They didn't do that. Draw near to Elohim, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, sinners, and purify your hearts, double-minded ones. Be distressed and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to shame. Be humbled before Yahweh, and he will exalt you. So this is the mind of the flesh, right? The mind of the flesh, who lusts, who covets, he looks for things, compared to the mind of Messiah. The mind of Messiah, who's surrendering to the Spirit of Yahweh. Humans love themselves so much that it seems normal to people. That's the problem. The society out there today seems normal. And it really shocked me that during COVID, which again, wow, did I learn many lessons during COVID and the lockdowns. But I was so amazed how many people just kept saying they wanted things to go back to normal. And you know what normal is? Normal was the Garden of Eden before Genesis 3. That's normal. You know, Genesis 1 and 2 is normal. Genesis 3 to Revelation 22 is all unnormal. So what do they mean they wanted to go? But they didn't want to go back to Genesis 1 and 2. They wanted to go back to the satanic world, the satanic unrighteous world that they had before COVID. So the world, they love themselves so much, and it just seems normal to them. It is so rampant in the world that we've never seen any other way, right? And that's why I say it's like living in the Twilight Zone. In one sense, you have the word of Yahweh and reality and everything in this book and the kingdom of Yahweh that's coming soon. But then the other thing is you walk out that door and it's everything the opposite. It's absolutely everything the opposite of what we read in Scripture. So it's like living in an alternative universe, you know, that you have to live in every day. And that's why you have to be praying. You have to be studying. You have to put on that mind of Messiah. And it's not a doctrine. It's not an emotional feeling. It's a state of being. It literally is a mentality and a state of being that you're in 24/7 a day. People don't see the consequences of sin, so they get comfortable with it and they get callous to it. Unholy ways they feel are just not so bad. They exchange emotion and a warm feeling in their belly for real communion, real relationship with Yahweh. And that relationship can only come from living a life of 100% to the will of Yahweh. In Him, in prayer, study, fasting, meditation. You know, Yeshua talks about as the head of the body, right? So literally we have to get His mind. He's the head. He's got the mind. And we have to get His mind to be in our mind. And yet human beings were made in the flesh. It's totally contrary to each other. The spirit and the flesh, right? So, in the flesh, we have the five senses. You have touch, taste, smell, hear, and see. And every one of them is to the flesh. And every one in a different way. You know, even if you look at food, excuse me. With food, there's a pleasantness that comes from looking at food, smelling food, even hearing. Sometimes when you can hear something cooking, you know, you could say, wow, you know, that it's there. It reminds you maybe the way your grandma used to cook cookies or something like that. So when you're looking at the five senses, even touching it, sometimes there's certain foods that when you touch it, it's a good feeling to it. Pizza, you know, turning that pizza as you're touching it. And of course, the taste. So the smell, the taste, the touch, the hear, and the see. But everything is to the flesh. Almost every aspect of our life is toward preserving the flesh. It's that simple. So, you know, people work for the flesh. They eat for the flesh. They dress for the flesh. So the mind constantly, for most human beings, is on preserving this, preserving the flesh. But they're not thinking that the flesh is totally contrary to the spirit. So if you're going to have the mind of Messiah, you have to flip your alternative universe. You have to live in the reality of this book 24/7, not the reality of everything that's around you when you walk out of your house. And it's not easy to do. It's a hard thing to do because everything is here. Everything is in your mind. Everything is in the discipline that you have in your life and in your mind. So like I said, it's a state of being. It literally is a state of being. But for human beings, there's nothing past the flesh. So that's the reason why I believe the false doctrine of going to heaven seems real to most people. Why? Because to them, you have this life now for the flesh, and then when you die, you have that life in another world up there, you know, after that. But they don't see that the two lives are connected, you know, that our life here is to fight the flesh, deny the flesh, and literally kill the flesh to live to the spirit so you can have that life after this. And that's really what it is about. And Yeshua came to free us from the bondage of our flesh. It's that simple. That even though, like I said, all of us are handicapped. All of us, when you look at a handicapped person, you might think of someone in a wheelchair or someone who is blind, who can't see. But every one of us that has a physical body is handicapped. Because if we're thinking in the spirit, but you're living in a physical body, we're handicapped. And just like a handicapped person, if you notice, somebody who's blind, what does that mean? That means their hearing is heightened. Someone who's deaf, their seeing is heightened, right? So when you lose one of your senses, the other ones get heightened. And that's why we have to build our spiritual senses. We have to heighten our spiritual senses to destroy our physical. And literally, so that Yeshua can free us from the bondage of the flesh. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, or 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 11. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 11. And these are contrary to each other. People don't realize this. They think that somehow they work together, but they're really contrary to each other. Unless you realize that, how could you ever win if you don't know who the enemy is? And like it says, I saw the enemy was me. That's our enemy. It's not our boss. It's not somebody else. It's not the world. It's not really even Satan, you know. The real enemy is us because he has no control over us unless we give him that control because we have free will. So 1 Corinthians 2. Satan is an enemy, but he can't attack you unless you let him. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 11. For who among men knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man within him? For also no one has known the things of Elohim except the spirit of Elohim. But we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit from Elohim, so that we might know the things that are freely given to us by Elohim. For the things which we discuss are not dependent on the knowledge of words and man's wisdom, but on the teaching of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, thus explaining spiritual things with the spiritual minded. But the material man, right, the worldly man, rejects the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness to him, and he is not able to know them because they are spiritually discerned. So, you know, again, my messages go all over the world. We have them all over the internet, everywhere else. A worldly person will probably listen to this for 10, 15 minutes and say, ah, this is nonsense. This is ridiculous, and shut it off. But to the spiritual person, this is life. This is life-changing. This is the thing literally that can make you overcome all things, that can make you become like Yahweh. But the spiritual man discerns everything, and yet no man is able to discern him. For who has known the mind of Yahweh that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Messiah, right? We don't need to be connected to the internet to have Klaus Schwab and his hoodlums there hacking our brains. We have the mind of Messiah. We already have the mind of Messiah. All we have to do is, as a man thinks, so he is. All we have to do is make sure that we have the discipline in our life and that we're nurturing that spirit and we're realizing it's a state of being and that we're focusing on that. Whatever you focus on becomes most real day in and day out. Galatians 5 and verse 16. Galatians 5 and verse 16. But like I said, these two are totally contrary to each other. The flesh and the spirit, totally contrary to each other. Galatians 5 and verse 16. To reveal his son, on chapter 1, Galatians 5 and verse 16. But I say, if you walk in the spirit, the lust of the flesh will not overtake you. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are opposed to one another. It says it right here in Scripture over and over and over. You've got to realize this. You've got to realize that your human nature is your worst enemy. And you have to suppress it. You have to destroy it. The flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are opposed to one another. So you are not able to do as you desire. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the penalty of breaking the Torah. Now the works of the flesh are clearly revealed, which are adultery, impurity, uncleanness, lustfulness, idolatry, witchcraft, enmity, fighting, jealousies, anger, rivalries, stubbornness, divisions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and things like these, of which I tell you beforehand, as I also said before, that the ones practicing such things will not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. So it's very, very clear. The ones who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. So whenever you're offended, you know, whenever you're angry, whenever you're jealous, whenever there's rivalry, all these things of the flesh, these are the things that you have to destroy in your life. Because, again, the mind of Messiah is a mindset. The same as the mind of the flesh is a mindset. And the sad part is, you don't have to work on these things. These things are already there. You're born with them, right? You know, you're living in a world where they're nurtured every day of your life. Go out in the world, whether it's the teachers in the school system, whether it's where you work, whether it's friends you're going to make, or whether it's yourself. You know, you could take somebody, and this is where I've learned a lot in the last 10, 15 years. You could take a person and put them on a deserted island all by themselves where they've never, ever seen another human being. And I used to think that, wow, in that case, they wouldn't have human nature because they didn't learn it from anywhere. You don't have to learn human nature. It's already there. It's already there. And that person will still have selfish tendencies. They will still, no, not as bad as what we're reading here, not as bad as the person in the world, because yes, you do learn it more. You learn it more through friends, through school, through teachers, you know, through whoever, books you read, things you watch, but it's there anyway. It's there. So even if you never saw a person your whole life, you would have human nature. Unless you get rid of it. Unless you destroy it. Unless you suppress it. But let's look on the other end, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, you know, not trusting in the serpent, but trusting in Yahweh and His word. Meekness, right? Being able to take correction. And self-control. Having self-control and discipline in your life. Against such things there is no instruction. But the ones belonging to Messiah crucified the flesh with his passions and lusts. Let us therefore live by the Spirit and surrender to the Spirit. So it's not something that just happens because you have free will. We're made in the image of Yahweh. And Yahweh has free will. So we have free will. So you have to surrender to the Spirit. Or you're going to surrender to the other spirit. And Satan, being the great deceiver he is, will trick people into surrendering to him. How? Through your human nature. Because our bodies, because like I said, the five senses and the pleasures of the senses that are there, touch, taste, smell, hear, and see, that Satan will bring the wrong things in our life in these ways to tempt people, and then before you know it, they're there with the fruits of the flesh. So we want to make sure that we are surrendering to the Spirit of Yahweh if you're going to get these nine fruits of the Spirit. He says, let us not be a vainglory that ridicules one another and envies one another. But verse 25, the big one, let us therefore live by the Spirit and surrender to the Spirit. So that's what it comes down to. The Spirit battles the flesh, cannot have a carnal mind and the mind of Messiah, cannot have bitter and sweet water from the same well. It's that simple. Titus 1, 15 and 16, right? So the mind of Messiah looks at everything from the positive point. The mind of Messiah sees the good in everything. The mind of Messiah lives by Romans 8, 28. All things work out for the good. So no matter what happens, whether they lose their job, whether they can't pay the rent, whether there's a death in the family, no matter what it is, they're looking at the positive side of this and seeing how can this strengthen me as a believer? How can this help me to build these nine fruits of the Spirit? But the ones that are living by the flesh, no matter how good something is, they have no spirit of appreciation. They have no spirit of love. They have no spirit of forgiveness, because everything is just focused on those five senses. Titus 1 and 15. Truly, all things are pure to the pure, but nothing is pure to those being defiled and faithless. But even their mind and conscience has been defiled. They don't have the mind of Messiah. It's defiled. They profess to know Yahweh, but by their works they deny him, and they are abominable and disobedient, condemning every kind of good work. So no matter how good something is, no matter what's given, it's never good enough. No matter what somebody's doing, it's never good. They're only seeing the worst in everything. And that's the corrupted human nature. That's the mind of Satan. And you really think that people that are going to be connected to the internet, yeah, they're going to give this in the beginning. Wow, that, you know what? People that are crippled, that are paralyzed, you're going to be able to move and walk and do things, right? And then people that want to play the piano, you won't have to take lessons for 3 years. We're just going to download the program in your mind. So it's going to be through every, I read in Thessalonians, through every lying and amazing lying sign and wonder, they're going to make the people think this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. But in the end, what's going to happen? In the end, they are giving their mind, they are freely giving their mind over to Satan and his demons. So we don't need that. We don't need the internet. We should be getting the internet out of our lives to begin with. Never mind downloading it into our mind where you'll never be able to get rid of it. That's the worst thing that anybody could ever do. So the mind of Messiah is nauseated at the unholy things of the world, the unrighteous things of the world. Ephesians 2 and verse 1. Ephesians 2 and verse 1. I'll read 1 through 10 here. He says, "And he has quickened you also, who were dead because of your sins and trespasses, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the will of the ruler of the authority of the air," right? Who is Satan? He's the one, the authority of the air with the internet, you know, that goes through the air and all these things. "The spirit which is active in the sons of disobedience, in those very deeds in which we also were corrupted from the very beginning through the lusts of our flesh, doing the things willed of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as the rest." Exactly what I'm saying here, right? From birth, you don't have to try to get human nature. It's there. It's there, and it will manifest itself unless the Spirit of Yahweh winds up suppressing it. "But Elohim, being rich in mercy because of his great love in which he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, he made us alive together with Messiah, by whose grace we are saved," praise Yahweh, "and raised up together and seated us together in heaven through Messiah Yeshua, that in the ages to come he might demonstrate the exceedingly great riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Messiah Yeshua. For by grace you are saved through faith, and this is not of yourself, it is the gift of Elohim, not of works that anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Messiah Yeshua unto good works, which Elohim before prepared that we should walk in them," right? So the mind of Messiah, we could take no credit for that. The only credit you can take is that you surrender to it. But what it will do in your life, how it will change you, all the credit goes to Yahweh, because it's his mind. It's his spirit. It's him that's working these things. The man, the flesh, the new man, the spirit, right? Romans 8. Romans 8. Because you have to willfully and willingly, you have to destroy your human nature. Romans 8, 1 through 8, and then I'll drop down to verse 12. "There is therefore now no condemnation to those in Yeshua Messiah who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit," right? "For the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Yeshua Messiah, set me free from the law of sin and death." So when Paul is comparing here, he's not comparing whether we keep the Torah or not. He's saying how the Spirit of Yahweh in us, which the Torah is the mind of Messiah, that is Yahweh's character and mind, how it freed us from Satan's law of sin and death. How we've been free from sin and death through that. "For the Torah being powerless in that it was weak through the flesh, Elohim sending his only son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and concerning sin, condemned sin in the flesh, so that the righteous demand of the Torah might be fulfilled in us, those not walking according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the ones that are according to the flesh mind the things of the flesh, and the ones according to the Spirit mind the things of the Spirit. What is it in your life? Are you walking by the flesh, or are you walking by the Spirit? As a man thinks, so he is. Whatever you focus on becomes most real to you. What are your thoughts every day? You know, is the Bible something that it's a burden to you? And okay, you'll get your 10 or 15 minutes in and read your chapters, you're thinking of something else and move on to something else? Or is it your life? Is it you can't wait to get up, you can't wait to read the Bible, you can't wait to study, and it's talking back to you? Because that's what the Spirit of Yahweh does. It speaks back to you, and it opens up your mind, and it changes you. And like I said, the power of Yeshua's words, the power of Yeshua's mind in your life, it can create a new person in you that you never knew was there. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the mind of the flesh is hatred toward Elohim. It is not subject to the Torah of Elohim. It is not possible to be so. We just read that in Galatians 5, right? What is it? Hatreds, enmities, jealousies, all these things, lust, greed. These are all the mind of the flesh. So the mind of the flesh is not subject to the Torah of Elohim. It's not possible to be. And those being in the flesh are not able to please Elohim. Very, very simple. Are you in the flesh or in the Spirit? And it's a choice you have to make. The Ruach will do it once you give him authority to do it in your life. But if you don't give him authority, like I said, it's like a seed that sits there and never grows. Drop down to verse 12. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you are going to die. You will not live forever. If you live according to the flesh, you are going to go to the lake of fire. And you will die. You will cease to exist. You won't burn forever, because that's eternal life. You will cease to exist, and that will be the end. But if by the Spirit you put to death the practices of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of Elohim, these are the children, the sons of Elohim. So that's what makes us his children, right? That's where we get his DNA. That's where we get his genes. That's where we get his mind. And that's where, like I said, we become something that's above human. We could love our enemies. We can forgive those who did the worst things in the world to us. We could not give back reviling for reviling. But we're kind to even those who despise us and hate us. This is what the choice comes down to is. But it's a choice that every single person, believer, has to make in their life. Whether we're going to surrender ourselves to the mind of Messiah, or you're going to surrender yourself to your corrupted human nature and the spirit of sin. You have to make a conscious choice to the mind of Messiah. Because like I said, it's a state of being. It's a reality, but it's also a mentality. And many times people are afraid to let the flesh die because we walk by sight and not by faith. And that's a big problem. If you don't have faith, you will never do this. You have to, and faith is very simply, it's believing Yahweh, believing he exists and he's there. And if he's there, everything else is fine. It doesn't matter what the consequences are. It doesn't matter if you get sick. It doesn't matter if someone dies. It doesn't matter if you lose all your money. It doesn't matter if you're homeless. It doesn't matter if you're in prison. Because as long as he's there, in the end, it will work out for the good. If he's not there, then you're in trouble, right? And that's what happens. That as things don't go the way you think they should go, by your corrupted human nature, right? By the five senses. As long as they're not going by touch, taste, smell, hear, and see, then all of a sudden you have doubt. Why is this happening? Is he really there? Is he really? You can't do that. You have to walk by faith, not by sight. And faith is simply believing. As long as you believe, everything else will work out. As long as 1,000% Yahweh is real, as long as he parted that Red Sea, then we've got nothing else to worry about as long as you believe. And that, again, is a conscious choice. You have that choice to believe, or you have that choice to doubt. And doubt is the worst cancer in the world because it doesn't stop at one thing. Once one doubt comes in, a second one, the third one, and before you know it, you're doubting everything. And it's the worst feeling in the world, that doubt, because you'll never have any security in your life if you have doubt. It's the total opposite of the mind of Messiah, right? So people are afraid to let the flesh die because they walk by sight and not by faith. They're creatures of habit. They can't break those habits because they're afraid to break the habits. John 3 and verse 19. John 3 and verse 19. He says, "And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness more than the light, for their works were evil. For everyone practicing wickedness hates the light, and does not come to the light, that his works may not be exposed. But the one doing the truth comes to the light, that his works may be revealed, that they exist, having been worked in Elohim." Drop down to verse 31. "For he who has come from above is higher than all, and he who is from the earth is from the earth he speaks. He who has come from heaven is higher than all." So this is the choice we have to make. We have free will. You have to make that conscious choice to believe in Yeshua and Yahweh with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and surrender to His Spirit. Stop fighting it. Stop fighting it. Stop going by those five senses. Stop making decisions by what you feel and what you see and what you smell and what you taste. And you have to just believe. And if you believe, you have to go forward, even if you don't understand why. But you have to follow 100%. You have to surrender to the Spirit of Yahweh 100% if you want to start seeing the manifestation of those nine fruits of the Spirit in your life. That's the way it's got to be. Have to think on the spiritual. Well, envy, jealousy, they must die. And I tell people this sometimes I'm shocked when I meet a believer that will not forgive somebody else. And they'll say, "But you don't understand that." And I'm like, "But you don't understand. Because when you're holding a spirit of unforgiveness, the only one you're hurting is yourself. That other person, whether you forgive them or not, they could be in another planet for all you know. Their life could be different. They might have even repented of what they did. But their life has no bearing on you not forgiving them. But your life has a lot of bearing on that. Because number one, you're going to build a root of bitterness. You're going to live in bitterness. Your mind is going to think in a mind of unforgiveness. Everything you think, like we just read here in Titus, that to all things are pure to the pure, but nothing is pure to those being defiled and faithless. So everything they think is going to be that it's something wrong. Somebody's coming to give a gift. Why are you coming here? When do you bring this? Why are you doing this? There's always going to be an ulterior motive. So when you don't forgive, you are the only person that's being affected by that. Until it will destroy your life. And that's why, for yourself, forgive. Although we have to. The other thing is, you can't go to Yahweh and ask for forgiveness. Because one of His conditions to forgive you is that you forgive somebody else. And if you can't, it's got to show you how prideful you are. That no, you can go to Yahweh and have all your sins forgiven, but you can't forgive this other guy for something he did. It doesn't matter what it is. Because you're leaving it at the throne of Yahweh. So we have to make sure that we're allowing all envy, jealousy, lust to die. Luke 16 and verse 13. Luke 16 and verse 13. "No servant is able to serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or will cling to the one and despise the other. You are unable to serve Yahweh and wealth. And being lovers of money, the Pharisees also heard all these things, and they mocked him. And Yeshua said to them, 'You are those justifying yourself before men, but Yahweh knows your hearts. For the thing highly prized among men is abominable before Elohim.'" Right? So, the mind of the flesh wants to justify. The mind of the flesh always has a reason why what he's doing is right and why. But the mind of Messiah is the one that has a mind of repentance, has a mind of change, has a mind of getting, okay, I did this wrong, I'm going to repent, I'm going to change, I'm going to move on from here. But the mind of the flesh wants to justify. They want to justify they deserve all things, you know. They work for all this, you know. They're honest, they know this. And they never change because of that, because of their pride, because of their envy. And that's why I say, you know, I'm doing this for 25 years, this ministry that Yahweh started from Jerusalem to the nations. And I've traveled all over the world. I met a lot of different people. And I have to say, you know, the third world brethren, for the most part, there's good and bad everywhere, but the third world brethren, for the most part, they have a simple childlike attitude. And I've seen in some third world where, wow, the hatred and the fighting with each other, but then I've also seen them forgive each other. Just like children. Sometimes children will fight. And it's like, you know, you'll have your friend come over and sleep over. And then it's like after an hour, no, I want him to go home. I don't want him here. They're fighting. And then 10 minutes later, they're friends again. So This is the way the third world brethren are. They're like children in that sense, a servant attitude. But high-minded people are wise in their own eyes and they're faithless. They're depending on self, you know, and that's why they can't do this. That's why they can't surrender to the mind of Messiah. As human beings, we can't worry about acceptance from other human beings. We want acceptance from Yahweh. John 5 and verse 41 says, I do not receive glory from men, but I have known you that you do not have the love of Yahweh in your hearts. I have come in the name of my Father, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive that one. How are you able to believe, you who receive glory from one another, and the glory which is from the only Elohim you do not seek? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one accusing you, Moses, on whom you hoped. So it's really interesting here that a lot of times people would rather have acceptance from another human being than Yahweh. And boy, that is either, it's either blasphemy if they really believe, or it's just they don't believe. They have to be a lack of faith. Because why would you care more what a human being thinks? And I know there's been times in my life where I've been falsely accused of things. People have said false things about me on the internet. And my prayer to Yahweh, my only prayer was, you know, what is true? What Yahweh thinks about something? And as long as something wasn't true, it didn't really matter what anybody says, even if the whole world, look at what they did to Yeshua, how they falsely accused Yeshua and crucified him for no good reason at all. But we need to be worried about what Yahweh thinks, not what man thinks. And we have to judge with righteous judgment. John 12 and verse 23. John 12 and verse 23. I'll read 23 through 26. But Yeshua answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you that a grain of wheat, except it fall and die on the ground, remains itself. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. Whoever loves his soul will destroy it. And whoever hates his soul in this world will keep it to life eternal. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, my servant will be also. And if anyone serves me, the Father will honor me. So that's the key. Do you love your physical life so much in this world that you just can't give it up? And it is. We live in a time, there's never been a time like we live in the end time. And there's a reason why commercial Babylon, you know, the system that America, Babylon started, why they're going to have such punishment, because that system is in the whole world now. There's never been a system like this before. And that's why when the mark of the beast comes, it's going to be virtually impossible to live outside that system if you didn't prepare to. But Yahweh has a way for his people, and that's why Yahweh is preparing us. And that's why he told us beforehand, he's showing us, prepare now. We're just about at that point. But whoever loves his life will destroy it. You know, if you love your life more than you love your calling in Yeshua, you know, but he who hates his soul in this world will keep it to eternal life. So how much do you love the world? For me, it's not that hard to leave this world because it's a terrible world. There's nothing in the world anymore to hold on to. We're not living in 1880 in Little House on the Prairie. So there's not a lot there in this world that people should want. And that's why I said, you have to look at COVID and the lockdowns and how hard your life was during COVID was there for one reason, to show you what changes you have to make. Because if you're completely out of the world, then no matter what they do, shouldn't really affect you that much. But if those things affected you, right, then it's got to show you that there's changes. That's why I say emotions are trigger points. And when there's things that affected you, that shows you there has to be changes that have to be made. And, you know, maybe for a lot of the people of Yahweh, you have to realize, you know, not only coming out of the world, but you can't go along with the crowd. Maybe you're going along too much. 1 Peter 4 in verse 1. 1 Peter 4 in verse 1. Says, therefore, Messiah, having suffered for us in the flesh, also you arm yourself with the same thought, because he, having suffered in the flesh, has been made to rest from sin. For him no longer to live in the lusts of men, but to live the remaining time in the flesh, in the will of Elohim. For the time of life having passed is sufficient for us to have worked out the will of the pagans, having gone on in wantonness, lust, drunkenness, parties, indecent singing, lawless idolatries. in which they, the world, once you stop this, are surprised that you do not indulge with them into past excesses, and they blaspheme against you. So people have this when they come to the truth, when they're not celebrating Christmas anymore, or the, you know, the New Year's parties at work and all these other things that people want to say to them. They want, oh, you think you're more righteous than me? The believer never said that. They just don't do it. And because the people know it's wrong, they attack the believer for it. Who will give account to Elohim, who is to judge the living and the dead? For to this end also the good news was preached to, skip verse 6, but verse 7, but the end of all things is drawn near, be of sound mind and be mindful of prayers. The end of all things has drawn near, be of sound mind and mindful of prayers. So that sound mind is the mind of Messiah. And once you fully embrace the mind of Messiah, once you surrender your human nature to the mind of Messiah and it fills you, you won't want to be part of those things anymore. And it won't matter what the world says. It won't matter what other people say, maybe even relatives, but what will matter is what Yahweh says. That will be the thing that matters in your life. Do we hear the voice of Yahweh or do we hear the voice of the world? John 18 and verse 37. This is Yeshua before Pilate. Then Pilate said to him, are you really a king? Yeshua answered, you say that I am a king. For this purpose I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, that I might witness to the truth. Everyone being of the truth hears my voice. So what is it? Do we hear the voice of the World Economic Forum, or are we hearing the voice of Yahweh? Where are we? Do we hear the voice of Facebook and Twitter and all these other things? Are we hearing the voice of Yahweh? Are we hearing the voice of you know, living in this world, in this society? Remember, the one who loves this world is hatred to Elohim. So which one is it? This is what we have to decide. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6. Because it is Elohim who said, out of darkness light shall shine, who shone in our hearts to give the brightness of the knowledge of the glory of Yahweh in the face of Yeshua Messiah. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the excellence of the power may be of Elohim and not from us. In every way being troubled, not being overwhelmed. Being harassed on all sides, but not being conquered. Being persecuted, but not being forsaken. Being thrown down, but not having been destroyed. For we always bear in our bodies about the death of our Master Yeshua, that also the life of Yeshua may be made manifest in our body. Right? I fight tooth for tooth, life for life. He died so we can live, and now his life has to be manifest in our body. How do we do this? Through the mind of Messiah. For we who live are always being delivered up to death on account of Yeshua, that also the life of Yeshua may be made manifest in our mortal flesh, so that death indeed is close to us and life is near to you. Right? That's what it's about. It's about taking the life he's given us and sharing with someone else. Drop down to verse 16. Because of this, we do not grow weary. But if indeed our outward man is being decayed, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. That's the point. Your mind is dying every day. Every day brain cells are dying, right? Like I said, your cells are dying. Your flesh is dying. But the mind of Messiah is a spiritual mind, and that's being renewed day by day. For while the troubles of the present time are little and light, a great and limitless glory forever and ever is prepared for us. We do not rejoice in the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things being seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are everlasting, right? Are you living for the things you see? Right? And I know when you don't have that rent money, you know, or you can't pay the electric bill and that bill's staring you in the face, $250, you know, it's a big thing because you don't want the electric being shut off. But we have to think on the things which are everlasting, not temporal. And I say sometimes people have more faith in the electric company than they do Yahweh. Because I ask people, who is the owner of your electric company? I don't know. Have you ever talked to the president? No. And yet, when you get that bill that says, we will turn off your electric on June 4th, wow, you believe them. And, you know, hook or crook, by June 3rd, you're going to get that money and you're going to pay it because you believe that the man from the electric company will perform what he said. And yet many times with Yahweh, we don't. With Yahweh's word, we don't. And we have to believe in Yahweh more than we believe in the man from the electric bill. The problem is like I said, that we're focusing too much sometimes on the temporal and not on the immortal, the eternal, which we have to do. Philippians 2 and verse 1. Philippians 2 and verse 1. He says, so then, if there is any comfort in Messiah, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any mercies and compassions, complete my joy, being in one accord, in one love, one soul, one mind, right? The body of Messiah is many members, but one, ikad, one in love, one in soul, one in mind, the mind of Messiah, right? And this really discourages me when I see brethren that are not one in mind. When I see brethren, maybe sometimes, you know, questioning the leadership, you know, or wanting to do their own way. There's one body, one accord, one love, one soul, one mind, one soul, one life. Do nothing according to strife or self-glory, but in humility let each regard his neighbors better than himself. Let no one be mindful only of his own things, but let each one also be mindful of the things of his neighbor, right? It is great, better to give than to receive. For think this within you, which was also in Messiah Yeshua, who existed in the very form of Elohim, thought it not robbery to be the equal with Elohim, right? But emptied himself, taking on the image of a servant, having become in the image of the sons of men. And being found in the form like a man, he humbled himself, having become obedient unto death, even the death of a torture stake. Drop down to verse 13. For it is Elohim who is working in both to will and to work for the sake of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and doubtful reasonings, that you may be blameless and harmless, children of Yahweh, without fault in the midst of a crooked generation, even having been perverted, among whom you shine as luminaries in this world. Wow. So this is what it's about. It's about changing our corrupted human flesh into the mind of Messiah. A couple more scriptures will be finished. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. Then I, the prisoner of our master, exhort you to walk worthily of the calling in which you were called, with all humility and meekness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, being eager to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, right? Sometimes, why not just let my way go? Sometimes, why not just for unity's sake, support what's going on in the congregation? Being eager to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you also were called in one hope of your calling. One Yahweh family, one faith, one baptism, one Elohim and Father of all, the one above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us was given grace according to the measure of the gift of Messiah. Drop down to verse 17. Therefore I say and testify in the Master that you no longer walk even as the rest of the nations walk, in vanity of their mind, right? The human mind, the corrupted mind, having been darkened by their intellect. Everything is knowledge-based. Being alienated from the life of Elohim because they have no knowledge, which is because of the hardness of their heart, right? The pride that's in them will not repent. Who, having cast off all feelings, surrendered themselves up to lust and the practice of all uncleanness with the desire for more and more, because that's what happens according to the flesh. Once the mind gets addicted to these things, it needs more and more and more to keep it going. But that is not what you've been taught in Messiah, right? That is not the mind of Messiah. It's the opposite. Like we saw, the flesh fights against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. They are totally opposite to each other. Galatians 5, you see where the fruits of the flesh and the fruits of the Spirit, 100% opposite of each other. If indeed you heard him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Yeshua, lay aside all your former practices and put off the old man, having been degenerated with deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. This is what it all comes down to. The mind of Messiah, allowing that mind to work in you. And to put on the new man who is created by Elohim in righteousness and true holiness. Therefore put away from you lying and speak the truth each with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Forgive. And do not give the devil a chance. The one stealing, let him steal no more, but rather let him labor, working what is good with his hands, that he may have something to give to the one who has need. Drop down to verse 29. Oh, there we are. Let not any evil word go out from your mouth, but let words that are good and useful for edification, that it may impart a blessing to those who hear them. And do not grieve the Ruach HaKodesh of Elohim, the Holy Spirit, by whom you were sealed to the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and anger and wrath and turmoil and evil speaking be put away from you, along with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as Elohim has forgiven us through Messiah. Wow. So this is the transformation. And it's not human. What I'm reading here is not humanly possible without the Spirit of Yahweh. It's only the Spirit of Yahweh to transform our mind, because it's the thought. Remember, it's got to be thought before it can be a physical action. And the thought can only come from the mind of Messiah. And you have to allow that mind to work, and you have to surrender your human nature to it. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Verse 15 and 17. And he, Yeshua, died for all, that the living ones may live no more to themselves, but the ones having died for them have been raised. Verse 17, 2 Corinthians 5:17. So that if anyone is in Messiah, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's why baptism is not just a ceremony. You know, it's not just a ritual. You're not joining the church downtown or whatever it is. Baptism is literally where you are being begetted as a child of Yahweh. Yahweh, through his elder in the laying on of hands, is putting his spirit within you. And that seed of that spirit, just like when a sperm and egg come together, it's being fertilized. And then we are like a baby in a womb during our life in this world, being nurtured by our mother, the congregation. And then when Yeshua returns, we will be born again. But you have to nurture that mind of Messiah to be able to do it. And you have to take every thought into captivity. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 4. For the weapons of the warfare are not fleshly, but of the power of Yahweh to the demolition of strongholds. What strongholds in your life? Is it greed? Is it lust? Is it anger? Casting down imaginations and every false thing lifting itself up against the knowledge of Elohim, and bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Messiah. That can only be done with his mind. Because once you're doing this, once it's a pattern in your life, it becomes easier and easier every day. Because his spirit actually takes over. But you have to start. You have to fight that human nature. And if there's anything there of those, after this is over, go back to Galatians 5 and look at the fruits of the flesh and look in your life and think about it. What is manifest of those fruits of the flesh in your life, and how can you get rid of them? Last scripture is Colossians 1. Verse 18. Colossians 1, 18 through 23. And he, Yeshua, is the head of the body, the congregation, who is the beginning, the firstborn of the resurrection of the dead, right? He's the first one who's born again, that he might be preeminent in all things, because it pleased Elohim to complete all things in him. And through him, Yeshua, making peace by the blood of his crucifixion, to reconcile all things to himself, through him, whether the things on the earth or the things in the heavens. And you then being alienated and hostile in your mind by evil works. But now peace has been given, right? By renewing your mind to the mind of Messiah. Through the sacrifice of his body and his death, so that he may raise you before him holy and without blemish and blameless. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and not being moved away from the hope of the good news which you have heard, and which has been preached in all the creation under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Yeshua conquered all. We need to allow him to grow his mind, his will, in us through his Ruach, through his spirit. So, again, we are at the most dangerous time in the history of man. Because Satan, from the Garden of Eden, Satan has corrupted human beings. He has tempted them. And he has tricked them and counterfeited the things of Yahweh in order for humans to be deceived and to follow him. But most human beings for the last 6,000 years, you know, will be in the white throne resurrection, and some of them will be able to make it into Yahweh's kingdom. The time we're living in now, we have never seen this before. We have never seen where Satan literally now is going to be able to connect his evil demonic mind through the World Wide Web, www, right? W is the Wav. It's the sixth letter in the Hebrew alphabet. So it's 666. dot. 666 dot, right? So I don't know how much clearer we can get to what the mark of the beast is, right? 666 dot. And yet believers are playing with fire. Because Satan is going to, he's using, we already know it, the World Economic Forum has already announced it. Like I said, they are going to be transforming from these dumb phones, these idle phones that we shouldn't have to begin with, into people having it in their mind and having all these things in their mind. They're going to think it's the greatest thing in the world. It's going to be every kind of lying sign and wonder. But literally, people at that point, there'll be no return. Because they are giving up their humanity over to becoming a child of Satan. So we need to be nurturing that mind of Messiah, and that is what's going to get us through the end time. It's going to be by surrendering to Yahweh, not once. It's not something you say at the end of a bar stool, you know, a little prayer to Jesus. It's something that you live in your life day in and day out. It's something you surrender to day in and day out. Because as much as you do it, your human nature is still going to be there until the day Yeshua returns and we shed this human nature. So the way to get it in a cage, the way to have it where it's not going to affect our life, is by surrendering to the Spirit of Yahweh and letting that grow and grow in our life to the point where the human nature is so suppressed it can't harm us. But it's something we have to be disciplined to. It's something we have to work on day in and day out. It's something that we have to be praying every day, fasting often, be studying every day, and be meditating on this. Because this is the most serious time mankind has ever got. And Satan's greatest deception is right before us. But we don't have to worry if you have the mind of the Messiah. Yahweh bless. Shabbat shalom.